Welcome to Plot Twist, I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And today, listener discretion is advised because this is going to contain some explicit and very kind of mature content. Because if you did not listen to last week's episode, we are reading, actually we have read, Unhinged romance books as part of Laura's Valentine's Day extravaganza. So
happy birthday, Davin. I hope you had a great birthday month.
Yeah, my birthday is in February, so this was very interesting to read, but I have some surprising thoughts about mine. So yeah, we are gonna, wow, it's gonna get really fucking weird, you guys.
Yeah, so I hope mine is really weird, but it was honestly, it's just so funny. It was so funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how I felt, because I told you I've been in like a kind of like a little reading slump because I'm buddy reading one thing and then I couldn't read anything with my eyes. It just was not clicking. And then I read this and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Now it's fun. It's no pressure and it's just, right. It's there.
Right.
And it'll get you going in terms of like reading, not other things. Need to clarify that. So yeah, I... okay, well, I feel like since this is your brainchild, you have to end us off on this episode
because perfect.
Like, you had some interesting comments that I'm very excited to hear, and I have a surprise for you.
I love that. I love that for me. So I'm just going to shut my iPad, go to sleep, and we'll revisit that later.
Oh, yes, we'll revisit that soon. So it took me forever to figure out what exactly I was going to read, partly procrastination and partly I could not figure out how to find good recommendations for this genre, to be honest, that like didn't come from you. So I finally found one and then I was going to tell you about that one first and then end with this surprise. But the one I ended up picking is so wild that that has to be the ender one. So my surprise is I read a Chuck Tingle book.
Yay, Chuck Tingle.
I did. Do you want to guess the title of the one I read?
Is it the Existential Time one?
No, it's not. I should have read that one. I did not.
Have we talked about it before?
I don't think so, but two hints. If you saw, he recently did post about it, and it is very up our alley in terms of like other things we're interested in as a general concept, not like what happens, but like general things that we...
What do we like? I don't know. And I don't know.
Okay.
I know I've seen it because I look for his posts every day of my life just to feel some joy.
Just for a little serotonin boost. Well, I read Bisexual Mothman Makes Special Delivery in Our Butts.
Oh my God, I love the Mothman.
It is so weird. So this is only 15 pages. Technically, the whole book is like 45 because there's like a bonus book at the end, and it's like my polyhedron dice wants to have an orgy or something very weird. I don't totally remember, but it's some combination of those words. And wow, was this book crazy.
Oh, it's 15 pages and your life is forever, yes, changed.
I was like, what is happening? Like, because it's also like we've talked about it, we both started reading Chuck Tingle horror. That's how we got into it. We're the opposite end of the spectrum going backwards. So it's very weird to like, not that these books aren't like, these books are fun. Like this whole genre, I think, is just supposed to be funny and like entertainment purposes. So it's weird to read that. And then like the really emotionally deep horror novels that he writes. So it was a weird switch. So this one, so we follow Ivy and Cooper. Okay. And they're both, you know, they're a married couple, they're working from home. Ivy, she either works at a production company or she owns it. And either way, they're both like very stressed because he's also a writer on a deadline. And they have this whole thing at the beginning where it's all from Cooper's point of view. And he's like, you know, we used to be so adventurous as a couple. Like we would go on all these trips and do all that. But because she's so busy with all the new clients and I'm busy with this deadline, like, we just are not going on adventures as much. And so, of course, and then my note here was all work and no play make this couple do weird things. So there you go.
Yeah, with the Mothman.
With the Mothman. So Oh, I have. I actually also have highlighted passages to read to you as well.
I have done that as well.
Oh my goodness. So
I'm so excited. Can I take a guess? Do they like go on a trip to Appalachia, like a camping trip?
That would make way more sense than how it happens. No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Appalachia? I guess I don't know how to say it that. I think it's Appalachia.
Yeah, no matter how you say it, it's still not correct. It's still not what happens. Okay. But I mean, honestly, all right, that would make way more sense than what actually happens here. So basically they're nervous, or they're not nervous. I'm trying to like skip through pages while I talk to you, and I can apparently not multitask. They are just bored and they want new things. And of course, you know, as they do, they order stuff online. And that is actually really how this all starts, is a delivery, a very special delivery. There's this scene at the beginning, right, where he's like working and they work in different sides of the house and the doorbell rings and she like is like, hey, did you hear that? And he's like, what? And she's like, the doorbell rang. And he has this line of like, funny enough, as difficult as Ivy's work is, she's clearly less focused at the moment and in a much better position to grab the front door. Regardless, I'm happy to take care of it. And that line just reminded me of like the R.L. Stein, like, she's not super pretty, but like, you know, I love her. Yeah. So.
She's not the smartest,
She's not the smartest. So he goes to the door and is like opening it because he's in like this fog from writing, right? He's like trying to get back into the real world. So he opens the door and they've lived in this neighborhood for forever. So they know the male guy, but it's not the normal male guy anymore.
Hot Mothman is
our delivery driver. So and I love because like he's awed by the fact, not that there's a cryptid delivering mail, because that's just
sure,
that's normal, we accept that.
Typical Tuesday,
a cryptid is delivering your mail, but instead we are awed by his beauty. Okay.
I have questions, because in every depiction of Mothman I have seen, he is a Mothman, and therefore not attractive.
you know,
mm-hmm. Big red eyes, antenna. Mm-hmm. How do we make that hot?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. I have a passage for you, okay?
Perfect. Can't wait. I'm ready. So, describe me the Mothman.
So instead of Noah, who is their old package delivery guy, we have Mothman. And the quote is, I'm faced with a muscular Mothman. So that's one. He's buff.
Ooh. Okay.
The creature is covered in grayish white hair and sporting a large pair of wings folded behind his back.
Love a pair of wings.
His eyes are huge and glowing, placed lower than one might expect and giving the rare cryptid a distinct appearance, as though his head was actually positioned somewhere deep within his muscular chest. So somehow that's hot. Like, that's all I have for you.
No.
That's what we got.
No. There. I hate that.
There it is.
Are we saying he doesn't have a neck?
I guess so. Yeah.
That's not working
just like
for
a,
me.
A little.
Just like a super buff. No, yeah. I don't think so.
Hard pass. Don't like this at all.
No.
And also somewhere on here as well, we find out another thing is that he has a nice ass is another thing we find out. So hope you love it.
The tracks. He spends time running through the mountains, scaring people. I could see that makes sense.
Who knew that terrifying the masses would also give you a nice ass? So that's good to know.
That's what I'm going to start doing. It's going to be my workout. I'm going to wear a Mothman costume and just run through the streets.
That is like mine and my best friend. She's her family's Ukrainian. And so, of course, she is like not very into, but she always will kind of bring up Krampus around that time of year. And there's one day in December where it's Krampus Day and you run through the streets scaring children dressed as Krampus.
Oh, and fun.
We talk about that all the time of like, we need to do this. Like, one day has to happen.
I agree.
Oh, and also, if you care to know, Mothman's name is not just Mothman, it's Indrid.
Indrid.
Indrid the Mothman Mailman.
Cute. I want to know how he became a mailman. Like, when did he make the decision to switch from just scaring people and being a harbinger of doom to delivering the mail?
Yeah, I don't totally know. I do know that, unfortunately, despite having wings, he is forced to drive the mail car, the post office
That's some bullshit.
Because marketing. And that's literally a quote. He's forced to drive it because of marketing purposes. So that's super fun. So, you know, Cooper is like at the door a little bit longer. Ivy ends up like coming down and is like, oh, what's going on? And he's like telling her that they have this new mailman. And she doesn't tell, like, he doesn't tell her that he's a Mothman. He's just like, we have this new hot mailman. And what's so funny is the package that got delivered, it was for Ivy, and it's one of Chuck Tingle's books. So
excellent.
It is titled Bisexual Buckaroos, 7 by Group Encounters in the Tingleverse, is what she ordered. And
good for her.
At some point, like, there's no one. Also, he takes that she's into it because on the cover of this book, apparently, is a gorgeous couple standing between a dinosaur and a Bigfoot. So, like, they're very prime just to commit. Like, do we consider this bestiality? Like, are cryptids still animals? Like, where do we fall in the line of that, ethics-wise?
Oh, no.
I know this is a bigger conversation, but I'm curious.
I think we just instead call them monster fuckers so that we don't have to... We don't have to get into that.
That's the worst time to take a drink of my smoothie. Holy shit.
I don't want to get into the morality of having sex with the Mothman, so...
Holy cow. Okay. So then he's like, oh, that book looks fun. And she's like, we could read it together. Mwahaha. And then so he takes this as a chance, again, not to tell her that... it's a Mothman that is now delivering the mail who he is attracted to. But he was like, hey, she's obviously into cryptids. I'm just going to tell her, hey, he was pretty cute. You would have liked him. And she's like, well, maybe I'll get the door next time. And he's so anyways, he's like trying to like go back to work and he can't. He's just thinking of the Mothman's ass the entire time. And he is just like, finally gives up. So instead of that, anyways, he is trying to figure out what can he order that has same day delivery so that he can see Mothman again. And he buys a pen. So a few hours later, you know, the door rings and the wife is, you know, gonna go get the door, and she sees him and is like completely just awestruck again. Like, she's stammering, she can't talk to him, and is just like, okay, I heard we had a new delivery person, but I'm just a little surprised that, again, it's not a Mothman, it's that it's a hot Mothman. They're just like,
hot Mothman.
She was really into it, so she was like, oh, you weren't kidding that he was super hot. And she's like, should we order more packages? And so they decide to order more stuff.
As one does, so they can see the Mothman.
Correct. And so they do take it slow, right? We don't know, like, the time span of this whole, like, infatuation, but there's this whole, like, line of, like, oh, you know, we're ordering a ton of packages so that we can get to know him and build rapport with him and all of this stuff. And then eventually they have a plan because they're, like, they want to have a threesome with the Mothman. And...
sure.
So they're, like... right as the door rings, he's like, are you sure you want to do this? And she's like, yep. And he's like, you know, we're really excited to get these packages open. And he was like, oh, yeah, do you have something fun? And Ivy's like, yeah, you want to open up these packages with us? And he's like, it's my duty as a mailman to make sure all packages get where they're going in working order. So there's two packages.
Is this USPS, do you think?
what carrier do you think he works for? I think so. Yeah, I don't. I really hope he's a government worker. That would just make this way more funny, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's on the clock.
and about to.
Okay, I'm sorry. There are two packages.
Do you want to guess what's in the packages? You have two guesses, one for each package.
Lube.
No. That would have been smarter for what happens later, but no, they did not do that.
Oh no. by Mothman pajamas.
I would have loved that if that were true. They just get like a big Mothman onesie and they're like, all right, it's time.
Here we go.
No.
It's not bestiality anymore. I'm one too.
I'm one too. We're the same thing. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, no. I hate that I have to say this out loud. One is a rubber cock ring.
Great. Perfect.
And instead of like opening both at the same time, they're like, we'll just open that one. And then so, and this is when it all ensues.
Okay.
Of their nice orgy.
And the Mothman's like, what an interesting gift.
What an interesting gift. And so they, you know, they make sure that, you know, it works. The cockroach.
Yeah. As one does. You know,
as one does. And then there's like a whole like blowjob competition between the wife and Mothman.
Oh.
And the husband.
Okay. Who wins?
You know, to make sure, the husband.
Yeah.
And then literally the whole rest of the book is just,
yeah,
it's just them doing it. And then the other packages was a strap on that Ivy wears. So then there's this whole like human centipede train.
Good for them.
Of sex going on.
With the Mothman.
It is. With the Mothman and the wife. And then she is like, you know, they all go for it and they live happily ever after.
Good for them. I hope they enjoy being a throuple.
I really hope they're a throuple. Like, I hope that they do continue doing this because they obviously had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
With this.
Good for them.
So, there you go.
I love...
I read a Chuck Tingle book.
You know, a happy ending. So, great.
Okay. My next one.
Uh-oh.
The star of this show, shall we call it.
I'm scared.
Listen.
Is it Morning Glory Milking Farm?
No, but I want to hear more about that.
Okay. What's
that one?
A girl is forced to go work at a Minotaur milking farm. It's for health purposes. They have to be milked. She goes, she's a hand job artist. I didn't read it.
I thought there was only...
It was too long.
I thought there was only 1 minute. How long?
I don't remember now. Everyone is reading it online, even like serious people, because apparently it's hilarious.
Oh dear God. Okay, well we might have to. We might have to do that.
Sorry.
So you ended up. I didn't realize this was the same author. So I ended up reading Squeak by Vera.
Oh my
Valentine.
God! Yay! Balloon, sure, balloon yeah. animals.
Balloon animals. And whoa, was this wild for so many reasons.
I okay, can't
but
wait.
What I was laughing about before we started was she apparently has a whole sentient object holiday series books.
Yeah.
And so a few of the titles, if I may. My Date with a Light Bulb.
Absolutely not. Uh-uh. No, that's dangerous. Absolutely not. Uh-uh, no.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a hospital situation. Do not try and do it with a light bulb.
No, not even a little bit. Even more confusing is My Date with a Pair of Gray Sweatpants.
Oh, I also have dates with sweatpants, but I just wear them. So
I was going to say they're probably very different.
Dates. Right. So I'm not really sure how that would work. And I will never know.
Well, there's even more confusing ones. My Date with Water.
Oh, water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's good for you either.
You know, what's so funny. These are all coming out right now. These are all from this year.
Yeah, we're having a big comedy smut moment. I think this is like a big thing going on right now.
My Date with a Jellyfish.
Absolutely not.
Hard pass.
That's no.
Hate it. Don't want it. Thanks though. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, so Squeak. Here's the thing.
Mm.
It starts out, to be honest, if you had taken part of this plot out, and I'll explain which part of the plot so I don't sound like a fucking crazy person, it could work in a high fantasy setting.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's in Omegaverse, right? But they turn into balloon animals instead of werewolves.
Yeah, it is Omegaverse, but that's not even the part I'm talking. Okay, so let's get into it. Okay, so...
I'm so excited!
We have so much. I am so confused. I had... there. This part of this gave me nightmares, and I will tell you exactly which part.
Great.
Because you deserve it.
Hmm.
We have Poppy, right? Poppy is our MC. She's an art student. She is going to the zoo to write or draw, like, subjects, right? For her class, she has to find some people to draw. So she's doing that. It's really hot. It's in May. And she's there for a few hours and is like, oh my God, I'm so thirsty. Wah, wah. I forgot my water bottle. And she's like, but I don't want to get up because she, like, set up in an area and she doesn't want to pick up all her drawing materials just to go like 2 feet over five, whatever, for the water fountain. Mm. And then this hot zoo worker comes up to her and is like, oh, I'll watch your stuff for you if you want. And she was like, oh no, like, because he thinks she has to go to the bathroom. And she's like, no, I just wanted to get some water. And he was like, well, unfortunately, the water fountain is broken because a kid stood on it. So that sucks for you.
Okay.
But he is super hot. That's the first thing she notices.
Sure.
Super hot. But in like a... there's this whole comment where like the whole zoo is like going for a old-timey feel. Because like he's in like a red and white pinstripe vest. And like that whole kind of getup, you know, from like... the 40s basically is kind of what I picture.
Cute.
And so he was like, okay, well, you know, my friend works in concessions, he owes me a favor, like, we can just go get you a water there. And he talks about how, you know, they recently started working at the zoo together, they just were working at a circus and, you know, came to the zoo. So there's that. So they go they're walking, right? And it's hot and she's like all up in her head because it's her hair is frizzy. She's like, my makeup probably looks like shit because it's hot and I'm sweaty. And he over here looks perfect. Like, there's nothing wrong with him. Like, his curls are all nice. He doesn't look like he's sweating at all. And that's bullshit. Anyways, we go to, and his name is Sebastian. So we find out that, and they go to the place, right? The concession stand, and they meet Keen. And Keen is instantly very not happy that Poppy is there. He does not like her at all, and he's very rude to her.
She just wants some water, so...
Yeah, so what's up?
Yeah, well, why are you so upset?
After he like kind of is like, okay, bye now, leave please. And then Seb is pissed. He's like, we get Keen's point of view, and we find out that Keen and Seb are dating, and that's why
okay. He
was mad.
Gotcha.
Is because that's my man. How dare you?
How dare you walk next to him to the concession stand?
How dare you? Yeah, but I think she was like probably making eyes at him, and then he was probably, you know, the whole thing. And Seb is like, dude, why are you being so rude to her? She's an artist and she can help us draw the sigils.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Not the sigils.
not the sigils. And then we don't find out what exactly the sigils are.
Okay.
Because instead, Keen knows that, like, Seb is really pissed about this. And so instead of having an argument, he gives Seb a blowjob.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. At some point, and it's really funny how, I don't remember how the order takes place, okay? But with Keen's point of view, we learned more of the backstory. Now, here is where it could have been, in a high fantasy setting, better. Not because of the Omegaverse, but because they were, yes, in a circus, and their creator, Xena, made them for her pleasure. So Uh-oh. It's like a weird, like, Amarantha kind of thing.
Where, yeah.
Like, you know, that kind of thing. And they, because they were both in the same situation, they, like, forged their relationship and escaped together. So, like, that little portion kind of could have worked in another setting.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
But here we slowly find out that yes, they are balloon animals.
Excellent.
Given human form. And because of that, and I don't understand how this works, because you have to blow in one of their mouths in order for their
No! No!
Yes.
No! No! No!
Yeah. Yep.
I'm crying. I don't. That's so upsetting.
Oh, wait, it gets worse. That's not the worst part. So they have to be inflated, right?
Oh, okay. God.
So he inflates him, and, you know, it's really weird because even though they are human, their dicks are balloons, basically, from what it sounds like, meaning like they could, it's malleable, like they can kind of just like move things and
it
goes down that and it goes, yeah, it's very descriptive. It is very interesting.
Do they ask Poppy if she has a latex allergy, because that seems important?
No, but they really should have. They did not. But the worst part is,
oh no,
not, I mean, obviously the whole inflation part, the worst part is that he comes funnel cake icing.
No, he doesn't.
Oh yes, he does.
No,
he
does.
He sure does. So that's cool. And Seb is like, anyways,
I'm never eating a funnel cake again.
Well, but it was so funny because there's part of it where, as it's happening, they talk about he smells like burnt sugar and funnel cake or whatever. And I was just like, oh, it's because they're in a concessions booth. Right. No, I think that's just how they smell. They smell like funnel cake.
I mean, good for them, I guess.
Yeah. And then, oh, also, afterwards, his dick deflates when they're done. And bye-bye. Like, they just don't have one in between.
How do they use the restroom? They're balloons, they don't.
They're balloons. They don't have to. They're good.
Okay.
They don't need that. They don't need rent and all that good stuff.
That must be
but
nice.
Then, like, Seb... I know. Okay, well, you know what's even better is later, because basically, like, Seb eventually offers Poppy. He was like, hey, I need you to draw something for us. And you can't tell anyone, nothing. We'll pay you $500. And she's like, oh, my God, $500. That's 1 month's rent. I was like, where? That's the true travesty. I want $500 rent.
$500 rent.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine. Can't think. It must be like in the middle of nowhere in Ohio.
It makes it sound like it's a city. I don't remember where. They do mention where, like they do give some, I forget where it is based, to be honest, because they mentioned like a school, but I don't remember if it was like a, if it like gave us a location. But Keen is like, listen, I don't want Poppy involved with this. Like, we're not going to use her. So I'm just going to go find someone else to do this. And he was like, whatever. And then so Poppy goes back the next day. And of course, now because of the whole, like, they have like a rivalry between her and Keen. So she's like, I'm going to be rude to him. And so they have like a weird and rude encounter. She goes back to the place because she is trying to draw and she can only draw Keen's face. Like, it is just stuck in her head. So she was like, I don't remember what his nose looked like, so must go draw him. And that's why she went back to draw his face. Later, Keen goes, he's like, there's no better place to find a art, or like someone to do this, an artist, than the art school. So he goes to the art school and gets mistaken for a model that's supposed to be for like the advanced figure drawing class. So he, like, the teacher comes out and he's like, you're late, blah blah blah, get in here. So he, instead of telling him that he is not in fact who he thinks he is, he instead is like, oh, okay, I'll nude model for you.
Oh.
So, exactly. Yes. So they go in and he's sitting there and it's fine. And then, of course, a few minutes later, Poppy comes in and he is like, fucking great. Of course, like, I should have known. And this bitch is going to be in here. But then he's like, he's happy because she is very thrown off guard that he's there. Right. And the thing is that both Keen and Seb are like super hot. So then there's that, because you have this, like, hot guy who's, like, just naked, like, sitting there, basically.
But what about the balloon penis?
See, that's what I don't understand. And, again, I don't know if it's, like, a, if it's, looks more like a con, well, that wouldn't make sense, because Keen would be purple, so that would, like, cause cancer. And then that wouldn't make sense for later. So honestly, I don't know. They don't explain that.
Okay.
Because then if they did, what happened later would not happen.
Okay.
I would hope not.
I'll just pretend like I don't have questions.
You can't have questions. She just did not explain that. And so, you know, they go through the whole class. It's whatever, right? And then because Poppy was late, because she was dealing with, like, the real model who was, like, wasn't able to make it. And so the professor is like, can you just, like, let him back into the storage room where he needs to go change and, you know, just whatever. And she was like, yeah. So they have the whole thing. He was like, why are you, or she's like, why are you here? Blah, blah, blah. You're not the model. And I don't think he gives her an answer, but then, like, he just goes in and for some reason he just, like, cause he covers up with the robe, right, to walk back. But then he takes off his robe and, like, is standing in front of her naked for some reason. And she's, like, all flustered. And again, okay, I want to remind you, they hate each other.
Right.
So much. Hate each other so much. Uh-huh. And then they're arguing. Cause she was like, she was trying to figure out, you know, are they together? Is that why he hates me? Like, does Seb not see it? And, like, he just doesn't care, or, like, what's going on? And then Keen is like, I just need you to stay away from Seb. Seb's mine, blah, 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 blah. Right. They're arguing, which of course leads to making out.
Sure. As it often, right, as it often does.
as one does. And he was like, you smell so good. Yay. You're beautiful and you're mine. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
And so, right. It just, like, eh. And so they, he turns off the lights and they end up having sex. And then there's this scene at the end of it, because she was like, you know, the whole, also part of this, and I don't know if this is part of the Omegaverse always, because I read part of another book that dealt with it, but, like, have you heard about nodding?
No.
Okay, so that's part of this other thing where it's like they have, like, an extra, like, almost like a bead or, like, a ball on their dick.
Oh, like when you tie off a balloon?
No, but it's, like, at the base, I think. It's really weird. And it's not, like, I've read, like, not a balloon shifter one where that was in and it was just part of it.
Weird. No. I've never. No. Nope.
So that is also part of it, because she, like, is like, whoa, like, why is this, like, all, why do I feel this way? Why is this all consuming? And they also bite each other on the shoulders.
Why wouldn't you?
So, exactly. I'm also confused how he bleeds, because he's not a human.
He's a balloon animal. Bleed. Shouldn't he just explode?
You would think so.
If he gets punctured, no. Shouldn't he just be like, poof, and then shards of latex fall to the ground and
go everywhere.
He's
bye-bye.
Dead now.
No.
Okay.
Nope. Oh, there's also the whole part where before he was like, Poppy, give me your air. So then she blows in his mouth. And then she was like, oh, wow, he is so aroused. And that happens. And
oh, wow.
She's like, yeah. And they're done and they're, like, laying. And mind you, they're still in the school, right? They're just in the storage room. So then they're laying together and he's like, Poppy, I have to tell you something. And they, like, turn on the light and he, like, looks down at his junk and then she freaks out because it looks like a purple balloon and she's like, what the fuck? And yeah.
So my question is valid. He must have just, like, tucked it away while he was posing or something, because,
well, I don't know then, because then you have the whole thing of, like, she has to blow in his mouth for it to be.
And did she not notice, were the lights off? Like, did she not notice?
Right, the lights were off when they were doing it.
I have to believe that you can feel the difference between penis and balloon. But apparently not.
Then she was, like, talking about, whoa, I don't know. Well, yeah, but she thinks that he's wearing a condom. Because then she was like, oh, wow, how do you put it on so fast? I didn't even, like, notice or see that he was doing that.
But there's not a lot of heft to a balloon. You know what? Yeah. I don't want to know. I don't. It's fine. Let's move on from this. No.
Oh, just wait. It gets better. And so the chapter ends, right, with her being like, what is going on down there, sir? And so then we get Seb's point of view. And Seb is just at the concession stand by himself. And then they come in and they're all like disheveled, right? There's some blood. And there's this whole line too, where like afterwards she was like, oh my God, I can't believe we bet each other. Like, do you have an STI? Like, how could I have done this? And blah, blah, like, we were just all the blood. Cool. There's that.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mind you, like, this whole thing is that, like, their time is, Keen is like, I can feel the magic, whatever, that gave us form is, like, dwindling. We don't have that much time left. And the whole goal is for them to find someone to draw these sigils for them, because they can't draw it. It has to be a human to do it. And they go back and Seb can tell something has happened, and I think Keen tells him that they had sex, and Poppy is freaking out, and like a lot, and because Keen also tells her about Xena, and he was like, you know, Poppy's gonna help us, blah blah blah. Then she starts freaking out, and Seb is like, so in all your research, you never read the little red book that Xena had about sex magic.
No, I didn't.
He was like, you guys just made it. Like, what you gave each other were like love bites or something. Like, she's your omega. And you're the alpha. And there's this whole line where he was like, Keen, purr for your omega, like she's in distress.
Ew. No. No. I don't want it. No.
I'm gonna smother myself
with my emotional support blanket, and we're gonna be done.
And end of the podcast. So yeah, and she comes and she like crawls up like a kitten and is like, oh, like I'm so calm, blah blah blah. And but wait, and then he was like, listen, it's gonna get more dangerous because like Poppy's gonna be in heat because you guys just made it.
Nope.
So
nope.
she needs to find a nest. Like, we need to get Poppy to a nest.
Nope. Poppy's a human woman. No, that's not how it works.
I guess so. It sure does. And so they all go to like the car, and you know, so Poppy's in heat, and Seb is like, oh no, like this leaves me the odd man out. It does not, in fact, leave him the odd man out, because then they get it on in their car.
Cool.
And then they go to her apartment where, like, days and days of them just all having an orgy together happen. And so, you know, remember how the whole plot was that they need to find someone to do the ritual?
Right. So they can stay humans and not go back to being balloon animals.
Correct. but instead of that happening, just very quickly in a 2-page span, randomly, Xena comes in and is like, found them, and they have this whole thing, and I kind of hate that she used this in a way, because like the poor Buddhist, there's this thing that they call her, and wait
what the fuck.
There's this whole thing called tulpas.
Oh, yeah,
tulpamancers. Okay, so I'm familiar. That's what, you know, well, interesting. So technically the balloon people are tulpas, and Poppy is a real tulpamancer, which is super rare, and that's what Xena was trying to be, was a tulpamancer, but she is not. And so basically Poppy takes her over to the balcony, gives her quote-unquote the kiss of death, and then I thought she was gonna throw her off the balcony, but then they say, we also found out what happens when you fill a human with helium. And so I'm really confused as to where the helium came from, if they always have helium in them, and if so, how they do not float away.
How they can't inflate their own. Okay, well.
Correct.
And that's how the book ends. That's it.
And the end, forever happily. And there's a second book in this series.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
There's more.
Return to the Squeakverse.
You can there, you could learn more about that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
And there you go. That is Squeak by Vera Valentine.
Ah, what a beautiful tale of love and friendship. I'm so... I'm so comforted by the fact that there is love in the world.
Everyone can find love. Mm-hmm. It is there for everybody. It just might not look how you thought it did.
Yeah. It might be a balloon animal. Or...
Or water.
Or water.
Oh, no.
Or perhaps a set of silverware.
Oh, dear God. You did not read
that. I read three of them. I read three. Okay. So, here's the thing. I... would die for Ruth Cardello. She is the author of these books. And it's okay. Forked, spooned, knifed, and then there is one last one called serviced.
Nice. I was hoping it would be sporked.
Maybe one day. When they start...
we might get there.
When they start reproducing. Maybe one day. So... remember when I was like, oh, the authors of these books, like, they have to be doing them for fun?
Yeah.
I read the author's note to this book, and she had lost her sister, and it was, like, a very hard time, and she read one of Vera's books, Unhinged, where she has a relationship with a door. And she was like, I laughed so hard during that, like, horrible time in my life that, like, I wanted to write a book like that. And so we get Forked, which is the first one in the series. And it's a lighthearted utensil romance.
I would love to see like a dark romance, dark utensil romance.
I don't want to see a dark utensil romance. I don't want that. Here's my favorite part. The spicy scenes in this story are purely fictional. Please do not attempt to reenact any of them at home. I don't want to hear that my readers, F-A-F-O, forked around and found out. Tines hurt. Let's keep the forks on the table where they belong.
I'm so glad she at least said that because I am so scared and concerned for this.
It's so, so funny. So this novella is about a World War II super soldier who's trapped inside a fork. And the only way he can take human form, again, is by being intimate with a woman. So we meet Mercedes, who, you know, she's just moved to Providence, Rhode Island, I think. And she's got a crush on her neighbor, Greg. And she is also a 24-year-old virgin. And she's ready to lose her virginity. And she thinks, perhaps with Greg... So they're in an elevator together and she's like, do you want to go get coffee sometime? And he turns around and he's on the phone and he's like, are you talking to me? And she was like, nope, I wasn't talking to you. No. And so he steps out of the elevator and they have like a nice exchange like, oh, it's good to see new faces in the building or whatever. And she blurts out, I have your mail. I'll bring it by later. Because she wants to form this connection with him. And so now she has to steal his mail because she actually doesn't have that. So she goes inside and she's like, do you know what would be really comforting? If I ate food off of my favorite fork. Because I have this very special connection with the fork. And sometimes I feel like the fork is vibrating.
I hate this already. In the best way. Okay. I also have questions, but continue.
So, we're thinking about being a virgin, right? As we hold our fork. And she drops the fork because it's vibrating. She's like, that's so weird. Under the table. So she gets under the table to get the fork. And she bangs her head on the top of the table because she sees legs standing in her kitchen, right? So she comes out and it's a man in a military uniform standing in her kitchen. She's like, wow, I'm hallucinating because I hit my head so hard. Now there's this like man, this boy, what a handsome fella in my kitchen. And that's fine because I'm hallucinating and this isn't real. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm a real person. What year is it?
What every normal person asks. Continue.
I'm a real person. What year is it?
Why is she not like, hey, get the fuck out of my apartment?
Because she thinks she hit her head so hard that she's like fantasizing about a man that she can lose her virginity to. And she's literally like, oh, how lucky am I? I have my cat and now there's a man to fuck in my apartment. And she's saying all this shit out loud to this man because she thinks she's hallucinating. And he's just like, okay, that's great. I need to know where I am. So if you could just focus for a minute, and what year is it? Is the war over? And she was like, what war? And he's like, World War II. And she's like, yeah, dude, it's been over for like a long time since we dropped the bomb. And he's like, wait, the bomb? And she's like, yeah, on Japan. And he's like, but I was there to prevent that from happening. I was on a secret unit that was kidnapping scientists and making sure that the bomb never happened. She was like, well, I don't know what to tell you, figment of my imagination. It happened.
We did, in fact, drop the U-bomb, but go off, King.
So it switches back and forth from, like, his perspective in 1945, and they've just, like, completed their mission, air quotes, and they're going to this, like, ceremony dinner as, like, a reward for, I don't know, killing scientists.
Yay.
And so they're all around the table at this thing, and they're all talking about how after the ceremony dinner, they're going to go out and they're going to find women to have sex with.
Hell yeah.
And then they don't remember. Men. Right, because we're men, and they've been not doing it because they're super soldiers, right? And they're afraid that they'll hurt the women. So they've decided that they're going to give it a try. So they're all thinking about sex, and that's all he remembers. So
wait, how are they super soldiers, though?
Devin, don't ask questions.
Okay, you're right. I'm so sorry.
They give them injections and drugs. And I mean, so these are all people who have had like deformities, like, or I don't know. There's like various things. Like Hugh, who's the man, the fork man in this book.
Fork man.
The fork man in this book. he lost a finger in like a tree chopping incident. And I want to say it was like the gun finger, trigger finger. So he couldn't be drafted and he couldn't go fight in World War II. So he signed up to be a part of this secret unit where they magically grow limbs back and stuff with this serum. And later on in the book, book three, they're like, oh, it's from sea cucumbers. Like they use sea cucumber DNA. But it takes a while to get there. That's book three. So I am skipping ahead by telling you that secret. But yeah.
You're welcome.
Right. That's how that happens. So he can tell that Mercedes is like very upset because there's a strange man in her apartment. And he's like, come here. And she's like, sure thing. I'm obviously concussed and possibly sleeping or something. So yeah, we'll cuddle on the couch and maybe make out a little. Because why not? And then she teaches him how to internet so that he can look up things about the bomb and the war and his family and whatnot. And then she was like, okay, well, if you're really a fork, like, how did you become a man? And he was like, well, what were you doing with me? And she was like, I was eating ice cream with the fork because you're my favorite utensil. And so I eat even ice cream with my fork. And everything tastes better off of you, my favorite fork.
I hope she eats soup with a fork, too.
Why wouldn't you? So yeah, he's like, all right, well, it must be because you put me in your mouth and I became a human or whatever. And so she's like, let's go shopping.
Bitch, what?
Okay, there are more, you know, there's stuff, but like, he's in a military uniform, so she has to take him shopping so that he doesn't look weird, because now he's there and he's not a fork anymore. He's a human man. And so...
How does she know that he's not, like, a she's going to take the figment of her imagination to go shopping? Like, that's still the mindset she's in, or does she think he's real?
No, she's still, like, kind of in between. Like, I'm not sure. But when she takes him to go shopping and the clerk is like, hello, sir, she's like, oh my God, you're real. So...
Okay, sure.
So that's how that happened. Obviously, he doesn't have any money because he's been a fork for 80 years. So so she buys him some clothes at the store. And he's like, I will pay you back, Mercedes. Don't worry. And she's like, excellent.
That's the last thing I do.
Right.
I will pay you back.
So they go back and they're in the lobby of the apartment. And the whole thing is she's like, I'll help you figure out how you became a fork if you steal Greg's mail so that I can go on a date with him and, like, give him his mail back or whatever. And Hugh is like, but we're bonded. I'm your fork, but I guess I'll do whatever you say. So Greg is in the lobby when they get there. And he's like, hi, I'm Hugh. And they, like, introduce to each other. And Greg, like, hugs Mercedes or something. I don't remember exactly how it happened. But there's a hug or something. And it's devastating for Hugh because he loves Mercedes. She has washed him and run her fingers up and down him when he was a fork man or just a fork. When he was just a fork. She's his whole world because... he's been in her mouth. So, they go, yeah, I know. I feel really bad for him actually. So they go back upstairs and, Hugh is like, I need to go get some air. Cause he's like mad. Cause she's going to go on a date with Greg. Right. And internally Mercedes is like, I don't want Greg anymore. I want Hugh, my fork. So, so she's like, no, Hugh, don't leave. Let's talk about this. And he's like, no, I need to go. So he goes for a walk and he walks past a bar and he sees a man assaulting a woman. And the woman is like telling him, no, she doesn't want anything to do with him. And he was like, you better listen, buddy, or you're going to have a problem because I'm a World War II super soldier. And I'm really strong and I'll punch your lights out. So the man is like, why don't you go away? And then they get into a fight and he beats the crap out of him. And a man is walking by and is like, hey, you're such a good fighter. Do you want to make some cash? And that's how he starts doing cage fights for the mafia.
Shut the fuck up.
So he spends a night doing mafia cage fights. And then the the mafia don is like, you're gonna make me so much money, you work for me now. And he was like, I don't work for anyone, bitch. And he was like, we'll kill you. And he was like, I'd like to see you try. And so then he gets in a fight with the big mafia guy and he like embarrasses him in front of his like crew. And he's like, if you tell anyone or come after me, everyone's going to know what a little wimpy baby boy you are. And so the mafia dad is like, okay, fine, go on. And leave. And Hugh takes a bunch of money, like $20,000, like a bunch of money, and goes back to tell Mercedes that he can pay her back now because he got into mafia cage fights. And so...
wait, hang on.
Uh-huh. Do you have a question?
Did he just do one fight? Or like, what was the time span?
It was one night, and he did... a bunch of fights in that one night, and the people, he would like bet on himself, and he was the underdog because no one knew him before, and so he made a bunch of money. And then the mafia dad tried to enslave him, basically, and he was like, funny story, no. And so he goes back to the apartment to talk to Mercedes and be like, look what I did. I made money. I'm so cool. And when he gets there, Mercedes is gone. And there's flowers on the counter. And he's like, she must have gone on a date with Greg. Nobody loves me. And then that chapter ends. So what Mercedes was actually doing was going out to buy lingerie because she's decided to fuck you.
We love a woman who knows what she wants.
That's good for her. I agree. And do you know what? She really does know what she wants. So she comes back and Hugh is gone, right? And she's like very upset about this. But she's like, well, I've learned that I can make friends because she befriended the insane man who thinks he's a fork. And so she befriends a girl in the apartment complex and she's just like, he was gone. Maybe he was never here. Maybe he's never coming back.
Maybe I was really crazy and he was a figment of my imagination.
Right. So she starts hanging out with this girl and they go on runs or whatever, and she's talking about maybe going on a date with Greg, and she just move on with her life. And like 4 months pass, right? She comes home and the cat is like pawing something under the refrigerator. And she's like, what are you doing, Mike? Which is the cat's name. Nice. And she gets under the fridge and reaches a little hand in. And what does she find?
Oh my God, is it her fork?
It's her favorite fork. And she's like, I thought this was gone forever since that day that Hugh randomly showed up in my house. And then she puts it in her pocket and she goes for a run.
What?
Yep. And she's like, yep, I still love this fork. It's my favorite fork. I'm so excited about this fork. So excited. In fact.
No. For the love of God, I really hope this is not going where it's probably going.
So excited. In fact, that she is like, remember when its handle vibrated in my hand? I bet that would feel great somewhere else. And so she does that. Handle, not tines.
At least there's that, thank God.
And then all of a sudden, Hugh appears.
Okay.
Here's something I highlighted from that passage.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh my God, he really is a fork. My fork. I fucked my fork. I was forked.
That is the best line I've ever heard in my life.
All I know for sure is that I'm falling in love with a fork.
As one does, yes.
Can we have children? Would that be safe? Would I be birthing cutlery? So those are just a few of my favorite highlights, right? So she bought this set of silverware at an estate sale, right? And so she's got the full set. And he was like, my unit, we must save them. We must figure out a way to make them
men again. All of her utensils are really men that were World War II. Every single piece of cutlery she owns.
No. It's like some pieces in that set. I think there are 13 in total. So at the end of the book, they're talking about her friend Cheryl, who she's like made friends with in the apartment complex. And here's something else I highlighted just for you. But if she doesn't have a man in her life and is open-minded, you could lend her a spoon. And that leads me to my next great feature, Spooned.
Oh, do we get a POV change?
Yes. And now it's nice. Mercedes' friend, Cheryl, falling in love with Jack the Spoon.
And I'm sorry, so Cheryl is just like, oh, you loved a utensil? I too would like
to. No, Cheryl is actually like, you're a fucking lunatic. Get away from me. Never speak to me again. I can't believe that you fuck cutlery. I am going to tell everyone what a psychopath you are. And she does take the spoon, though. She says, you're insane, but I will put the spoon in my purse just in case.
But thanks for the spoon.
Yeah, just right. Just in case you're not.
So is she insane? Is she like? Wait, what?
What? What's your question? I don't understand what you could be possibly be questioning there.
I just love how she's like, no, you're crazy. How could you fuck your own cutlery? But yeah, I'll take that spoon that you think is a man that you want me to date. Okay.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah. I want my own super soldier? I don't know. That doesn't seem real. Right. So she talks herself into fucking the spoon. It takes a minute. She goes out to brunch with her friend and her friend is like, you know what? Just fuck the spoon, girl. Give it a try.
I'm sorry, her friend is even like...
Yeah, uh-huh, her friend Ashley. Because we have to introduce a new woman every book because we have to
then
turn the men into...
Then she's going to get knifed.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Right. I'm going to go into less detail with this one because you already know what happens. She fucks the spoon. The spoon becomes a man named Jack. He's very sweet. He's Hugh's best friend. Hugh's very excited that Jack is back. They take him shopping for clothes. So at the beginning of this book, Cheryl goes to a bar by herself and she gets drugged. Mm-hmm. And so she tells Jack this and Jack and Hugh go on a mission to murder the man that drugged her. Mm-hmm. Right. So at the end of the book, Cheryl is being followed, and that's bad. Mm-hmm. But also, Ashley has chosen the knife from the cutlery set, and the knife is the bad boy, Ray.
And of course it is. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I guess I should make sure I don't have any funny highlights here. An ad for silverware pops up on my feed, and I hastily close it like it's porn.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Oh, no.
So very briefly, book 3, knifed. Ray is the bad boy. He was always like the morally gray one. He can become a human on his own because obviously she didn't want to write a scene where this woman fucks a knife. And she says that in the beginning. She's like, I'm not going to do that because that's insane. That's too far. So
that's the line. Okay.
That's the line.
Okay. I appreciate it.
So Ray can like met at the ceremony dinner, met with the like chief government person or whatever. And they gave him a special drink. And that's how they explain it. And Ashley's mom is a doctor and comes over and like gives him antibiotics because I don't know, his sea cucumber DNA is fucking up. I don't know. In this book, like, they're being followed, and they think maybe it's the government, and that the government has figured out that these super soldiers are coming back, and that would be really bad. But what it actually turns out is that the mafia boss knows that there are 3 of them now, and he wants all of them for himself for his cage fights.
Listen, I had no expectations for this, but... The mafia being involved was for sure, like, nowhere near in the realm of possibility.
Yeah. They're there, for sure. And Ashley convinces Ray to be a better man, and they, like, give this mafia lackey a new identity and, like, ship him off somewhere warm to start a new life so that the mafia won't kill him for failing to bring in the super soldiers. And they all live happily ever after. And so Ashley's mom... You know, things take place. They have sex on a bridge, and they also have...
Ashley
and Ray.
Did you say Ashley's... Oh,
yeah. Okay. Before I get to Ashley's mom, I'm going back. Here's something I forgot. They not only have sea cucumber DNA, they also have, like, octopus DNA because they can change color. And because they can change color, they are so... interconnected, he can make Ashley change color. So he makes them invisible so they can fuck on this bridge. Yeah. So.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. And also in this book, somehow they all start talking mind to mind. Like the couples.
Oh, of course. Because why would
I? I'm not sure what sea creature DNA that comes from, but... That happens in the 3rd book. That all makes sense to me and I have no questions. So Ashley's mom comes over.
Okay.
And so these men are 25, but they've been trapped in the silverware for 80 years. Ashley's mom is 40.
How old is Ashley?
I think they're all in their, like, 20s or 30s.
I hope it's 20s, because then that means she had a kid at 10.
They must be in their 20s. She was very young. She was probably 20. So Ashley is probably 20. I know Mercedes is 24, but that's all I know. So Mercedes is like, oh, Ashley's mom, hover your hand over this set of silverware. And Ashley...
like it's a tarot card deck.
Yeah, okay. Just, you know, let me know if any of them speak to you. And you know what? They do speak to Ashley's mom. But a fork, a spoon, and a knife speak to Ashley's mom. So Ashley's mom gets 3 super soldiers. And the last line of this book is, fine, but I refuse to call them all dad.
Only one of them I'll call dad. You get a pick.
And then I did not read Serviced because I ran out of time and I didn't want to.
You need to read Serviced.
I don't want to.
But we need to know how much Ashley's mom's got it going on, because obviously she does.
I swear if you give me grandchildren who turn into cutlery to get out of doing their chores is something I highlighted from this one. Nice. So yeah, that was Ruth Cardello's Super Soldier Cutlery series. And I laughed so hard at the first one. They're all funny, but the first one just, I couldn't, I laughed so hard that at one point Ray was like, hey, are you okay? Because he thought I was like sobbing because I was laughing so hard.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that, and I respect like what you said about the author's note. Like that's kind of, I get it.
Yes.
So that's kind of.
That's, she,
I can appreciate 100% that.
Wrote it for people to laugh and just like, you know, forget their problems and read something just wacky and like escape into a silly story. And it worked. And it was great.
And it worked.
And
holy cow.
So funny. So that's my tale.
Wow. Well, we did it. We survived the weird, unhinged romance journey of our lives. I am so curious to see how this impacts your story graph, to be honest.
Yeah. It's really, it's not good.
Got a lot of cleaning up to do.
I can finally fix my algorithm now that this story is over and I can stop. I probably won't, though. I'll probably keep sending these to you until I die.
I was going to say that, and, like, we're going to have to do a part two. I can't imagine we're not going to do this again, to be quite honest with you.
It's so funny and disturbing.
It was. It was very funny.
Well, on that note, may you not get VD from your balloon animals, funnel, cake, icing, sperm.
That's the other thing I was thinking about. That is so unsanitary.
Oh, the bacterial infection. You. Absolutely not.
No, hard pass. Hard pass. And just use your silverware for normal purposes, please, for the love of God.
PSA.
Only normal stuff. Yeah, PSA. Your silverware.
Don't end up in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Please don't. No thanks. Just
with a spoon.
Just read the books.
In your rectum.
Just read the books and that should be enough for you.
Should be.
Well, tune in next week for another...
something else.
Something else. And it's actually not next week. It'll be in 2 weeks. Pardon me.
That's
true.
We
will see you soon with some... another fun book list as we
yeah, love good. Lists. I love a list.
We love a list. So follow us. You can find us on Instagram at Plot Twist I Forgot. And then our personal Instagram handles are in the show notes below. So give us a follow and let us know what you're reading. Bye.
Goodbye, and I'm sorry.